Okay, we're going to try for the next couple of weeks, obviously with the exclusion of Rosh Hashanah, to learn some of the writings of Rav Soloveitchik in a somewhat unconventional way, and in some ways, maybe the most conventional way. I'm still trying to decide if I'm doing the Rav a service by doing this or not. Because for those who've tried to learn Rav Soloveitchik's writings, if you've ever opened up Alei Tshuva, whether that's in Hebrew or English, and actually just came out again, they just republished it in English. It's unbelievably profound. It's very, very deep. It's clear that the Rav, as he's described in the Hakdama to the Yom Kippur Machzor that they put out a number of years ago, was truly an Ish Yom HaKippur, a person who was deeply, deeply connected to these days, and had very, very profound insights, both of the mind and of the heart, in order to give us access to these days. It's been almost 25 years since Rav Soloveitchik passed away. I met a woman a couple of years ago over Shavuos on the YU program, and it was a woman who grew up in Boston, and she told me what it was like to watch Rav Soloveitchik on the Yom Naram Davin. She said, you know, it was tough. I was on the wrong side of the Mechitza, but I was able to, people would go up on their tippy toes to catch a glimpse of Rav Soloveitchik. And she says to me, she says, Rabbi, it was clear as day that Rav Soloveitchik was having a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was clear to me that he was totally, totally, through and through connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Soloveitchik, again, is described as an Ish Yom HaKippur. And many have said that there'll never be someone who had that same feeling. Where in a second, Rav Soloveitchik said about himself, if I was called upon to be the Kohen Gadol, he wasn't a Kohen. And he was never zochet to see the Beis HaMikdash. But Rav Soloveitchik said, if I had to fill in for the Kohen Gadol like that, I'd be able to do so. It wasn't theory. It wasn't abstract learning. It was something that was totally, totally alive in the mind and in the heart of Rav Soloveitchik. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to take the first essay in the Sefer Alei Tshuva on repentance, and I'd like to just learn it together. I basically stole the shiur from Rav Soloveitchik. And for someone who always goes out of his way to dig up obscure sources in presenting shiurim, I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone. But I felt like the only way to even pretend to present the Rav is to just let the Rav talk. So we're going to allow the Rav to speak tonight. And again, I'm not sure if it's going to be easier to understand the Rav as I present to you Rav Soloveitchik, or if it's worth just picking up the book and working your way through it, again, be it in Lashon HaKodesh or in English. But we'll try together to learn the first really, really profound and beautiful essay where the Rav Soloveitchik describes two aspects of tshuva. Rav Soloveitchik says, let's take a look at a pasuk. A pasuk we're all familiar with. I know we're not even at Rosh Hashanah yet, but we're going to jump ahead to Yom Kippur because we're running out of time. The pasuk says in Acharei Mos, source number one, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem, letar eschem mikol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem titar. Rav Soloveitchik says in the tshuva process there are two components. There's something called kapara, and there's something called tar. There's something called kapara, acquittal, and there's something called tara, purification. Two aspects to the process of tshuva. And they're both critical. And that's why the pasuk emphasizes, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going, and we'll talk more about what that word lechaper means. And then litar eschem, to also undergo a process of tar. If you learn the Mishnayos, if you learn Maseches Yoma, that describes the avoda of Yom Kippurim, you find in three Mishnayos where it describes how the Kohen Gadol would daven Ana Hashem kaperna la'avonos ulepshayim ulechatayim. And in two Mishnayos, additionally you find that the Kohen Gadol at the end of that Tefillah and Klal Yisrael would bow down, and the Kohen Gadol would utter the words Lefnei Hashem Titar. So there's a balance of Kapara and Tara. And Rav Soloveitchik, because we need to understand what does it mean to do Tshuva on the level of Kapara, and what does it mean to really do Tshuva, through and through, on the level of Tara. The first thing you have to understand is how Rav Soloveitchik understood an Avera. What happens when a Jew does an Avera? I gave you a couple snippets, a couple of quotes from the words of Rav Soloveitchik, again, as translated in English. And Rav Soloveitchik says, Kapara and Tara are both necessary components to remove Averos, because sin places man under the burden of culpable liability, and it defiles him as well. In other words, when you wrong a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you owe him, Kapara, you damaged, you have to pay for the damage that you caused. It's almost a more legal type of transaction. You took something from Hashem, you misused something from a Kadosh Baruch, you need to pay back. But that's very superficial. Rav Soloveitchik says, that's culpable liability. But when a person does an Aveira, it penetrates to the depths of his being. It defiles him as well. Rav Soloveitchik says these two aspects of sin are really one and the same. Because when a person does an Aveira, I can't hold back from throwing little things in here and there. This year in YU, I'm teaching, we're learning together on Thursday with my shir, the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. Listen to the shir on YU Torah, Douglas, you're excited about it. I posted it today, it's ready for you. Parshas Kisa. The Berdichever explains the concept of Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Before it was a Mordechai Shapiro song, for those who know the song, it was actually a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. The Berdichever explains Schar Mitzvah. You know what the reward for a mitzvah is? The fact that you were able to do a mitzvah. You don't need a prize, right? I mean, it's nice. When you're a child, they give you a ticket. It says CBY in the front. It says I Love Shabbos Kodesh on the back, right? But when you get a little bit older, you start to realize that the opportunity to connect to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and to have a relationship with Him is the greatest reward in the world. So when the Mishnah says Schar Aveira Aveira, Schar Aveira Aveira means the same thing. And that's what the Rav is describing here. That when a person does an Aveira, the punishment is not a response to the sin. The fact that you sinned is itself a punishment. You've punished yourself. Says the Rav, you have the quote on the page in front of you. Again, I'm sorry I didn't make more copies. Sin and its punishment are born together. There's no separation between the Aveira and the response to that Aveira. No sin goes without its retribution. That the Aveira itself is what's going to generate that punishment. Rav Soloveitchik explains Schar and Onish as one of the principles of faith of the Jewish people. We believe wholeheartedly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying attention, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping score, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward those people who make the right choices, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish those people who make the wrong choices. Take, for example, the Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, it's not on the page in front of you. Rabbi Chanina said that anyone who says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevater, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets things slide, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relaxed, he's not so uptight, he's not so particular, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Vatran, he lets things go, he doesn't pay attention to every little thing. Hashem doesn't really care, even though it says it in Shulchan Aruch, but Hashem doesn't really care if you put your right shoe on first or your left shoe on first, or if you tie the left and then you tie the right, as it says in the Halacha. Hashem has bigger things to worry about. Hurricane Irma. Our shir should be a protection for all Jews and all people in Florida. Right? So you can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really care about those little things. Hashem has much grander things. Hashem is focused on North Korea. He doesn't have to worry about how you tie your shoes. And yet, the Gemara says, anyone who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevater, that Hashem is casual, Hashem doesn't pay close attention, Hashem overlooks things, we say to such a person, Yevatru Chayav. Let God stop paying attention for a moment to your beating heart. Let your body not able to process the next breath of air that you take. Right? If small things are not so significant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying close attention. Schar va'onash. There's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Va'eschanan, in source number 2 on the page in front of you. The pasuk says, V'yadata, ki Hashem Elokecha hu Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God who judges. He's Elokim, is Hashem's Midas Hadin. Hakel HaNe'emar. Shomer HaBris Va'achesed La'ovav u'leshomri mitzvosav la'elef dor. For those who do what's right, Hashem rewards for many, many generations. But the flip side is also true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention to our averos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards our mitzvos. But Rav Soloveitchik is revealing to us that really, in a certain sense, the avera itself is the punishment. And the avera generates the punishment as an automatic response to the sin. Not something that's disconnected from the act itself. He brings what I believe is an amazing proof. When Cain killed Hevel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you have the opportunity to change your ways. And if you don't change your ways, you're going to be punished. Right? That's a loose translation of the pasuk. But let's read the pasuk carefully. What do the words in the pasuk actually say? In source number 3. Haloim teitiv se'es. If you better yourself than HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then we can overlook this. We can work through this. V'im lo teitiv, lepesa chatas rovitz. If you don't change your ways, then sin is crouching at the door. Rav Soloveitchik says, that's not what the pasuk is really saying. It's not sin that's crouching at the door. It's the punishment I'm going to give you for not feeling bad about what you did. And yet the pasuk calls it chet, calls it sin. Because the punishment and the sin, says Rav Soloveitchik, are deeply linked to one another. You can't separate the punishment from the chet itself. So the person who doesn't do tshuva, their sin is crouching at the door. The punishment that is part and parcel with the avera itself is crouching at the door. So first we have to work on kapara, And then we have to come to Tahara. So what is Kapara? What does the word Kapara mean? What am I negotiating in that stage that's called Kapara between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Rav again says it's a legal concept. It's not really a concept that should be deeply applied to tshuva. Kapara, as it appears in many contexts, it is an expression of something very superficial. Rav Soloveitchik says, for example, when a person's animal damages, right? So the Torah talks about kofar. Kofar means a payment. I damage and I pay back. It doesn't necessarily come with any sense of deep remorse, but it's something that rests on the surface, like the kapores, which covers over the aron. Right? The kapores is the cover. It's something superficial. David HaMelech is being rebuked by Nathan HaNavi. And he says to him, Vayomer David al Nasan Chatasi LaHashem. David says in source number 4, Shmuel obeys, I've sinned against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is very angry at me. Vayomer Nasan al David, Gam Hashem he'evir chatoscha lo tamus. When it comes to certain types of aveiras, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be what? He'evir. Hashem can pass over it. Hashem can wipe away the sin in a superficial way. Because yes, there's an element of sin that rests on the surface and needs to be dealt with in a superficial way. I backed my car into your car. I have to pay you in order to settle the score. But there's something more that has to take place. After a person works through kapara, there's something called tahara. Kapara, says Rav Soloveitchik, always means something superficial. Something that doesn't plumb the depths of a person's experience. He quotes a Rashi in Parshas Vayishlach, that when Yaakov goes out to encounter Esav, and he says, I want to make sure that Esav is not going to be angry at me. I want to be able to wipe away Esav's anger. What does the pasuk say? Achapra panav. I want to wipe away the anger that's on the surface. Says Rashi in source number 5. Avatel rogzo. I want to negate Esav's wrath. And then Rashi says where it's bolded. V'nira be'enai. It appears to me. Shekol kapara. She'itzel avon v'chet. Whenever we encounter that shoresh. Chaf, pei, resh. In the context of avera. Ve'itzel panim. Or as it says in this pasuk, achapra panav, the face, one's countenance. Kulan lashon kinuach v'havarhin. It always refers to wiping something away. To wipe off something that hasn't stained very, very deeply. Kofar, to pay a ransom, to pay a debt. Rav Soloveitchik says that's level one when a person does an avera. And as soon as you pay up, that's it. It's wiped away. It's a clean slate. Rav Soloveitchik doesn't make this point, but many Svarim point out that the first time you see a shoresh of a word in the Torah, it informs you about the nature of that word. Where is the first time in the Torah we encounter the shoresh chaf pei resh? Parshas Noach. What does it say? V'chafarta osa mibayis umichutz bakofer. That Noach coated his teva, right, inside and out with kofer, with tar or pitch. Right? He lined his teva. It's something that's on the surface. So Rav Soloveitchik says, that's level one. You did an avera, God asked you not to do something, you did it, you owe a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have to pay a debt. But Rav Soloveitchik says again, as soon as you pay that debt, the moment that kapara is granted by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the punishment is wiped away, like Hashem said to Kayin, the surface is scrubbed clean, as Nasan HaNavi said to David HaMelech, he'evir chataschah, I'll wipe away your chait. That's level one in the process of tshuva. But here's where the Rav gets really deep. The Rav says, as Jews, we don't look at tshuva, and we don't look at averos as little mistakes that need to be paid for. It's infinitely deeper than that. Rav Soloveitchik says, when a person does an avera, there's a tumas hachet. There's a polluting quality to the sin. Something that penetrates to the essence of the person. Not on the surface, I did something. But the essential I, did something. My essence has been damaged. My personality has been changed. The very essence of my life has totally been transformed by the avera that I did. And it makes a mark on my personality in the deepest of ways. And it has deep halachic ramifications as well. You're not the same person you were before you did the avera. It's not pay a few bucks for the accident, for ramming my car into your car. It's much, much deeper than that. And the same way that my personality has been transformed by the avera, the only way to rectify that is to truly transform myself through the process of tshuva. What does he mean by this change of legal status, this total change of one's personality? So Rav Soloveitchik says as follows. There are certain averos that if a person is involved in a particular behavior, that person is now pasul le'edus. Meaning up to that point in his life, He had the status of a kosher Jew. Right? He had a cheskes kashrus. There was an assumption that he's a good person. But once we see that he's adopted a certain lifestyle, he's involved in a certain type of behavior, he's legally a different type of Jew. He can't do the things that a regular Jew of good citizenship is able to do. So that's not something superficial. That's a change in the very essence of who the person is. And that's not, again, Rav Soloveitchik emphasizes, that's not a punishment. That's not a response to doing something inappropriate. You've done it to yourself, Rav Soloveitchik says. And the only way to cleanse it is to dig deep inside of yourself and to transform yourself once again. Take a look at this beautiful quote. Look how Rav Soloveitchik explains it and describes it to us. Rav Soloveitchik says, when you do an Aveira, and now you're no longer that same person you were before the Aveira, this is not a form of punishment or a fine. It is not imposed in a spirit of anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mad at you for not listening to Him. Hashem is not only placing a penalty upon you, again, for your misdeed. It's not an expression of Hashem's wrath or vindictiveness. It is a metaphysical corruption of the human personality. You're not the same human being. You've changed the essence of your being, your soul. It's a disgrace, he says, of the divine image of man. You've undermined the Tzelem Elokim by which you were created. And that's a big deal, says Rav Soloveitchik. He says that the communists speak in terms of the commission of error or deviation. Right? To say that a person makes a mistake and it can be overlooked. You know, it was an error. I was going over the accounts and I was adding up the columns and I messed up. And again, there's room for error. Right? There's a margin of error in terms of offering some information about a particular subject. Right? There's a margin of error. Plus or minus one or two, whatever it is. There's room for error. Why? Because I'm only human. And an error happens. Right? Things happen. Mistakes happen. Rav Soloveitchik says, as Jews, we don't walk around saying mistakes happen. We take full achrayas, we take full responsibility for the errors that we've done. And therefore, says the Rav, if you want to be a real Baal Tshuva, it's not just kapara. How many Jews, let's pause for a second, how many Jews approach these days and they just want to negotiate? You come to Rosh Hashanah, you come to Yom Kippur, and you're negotiating. You say, Rabbanu Shalom, listen, I know that I owe you some things, right? But I feel you owe me some things also. I could use a few extra dollars in my bank account. I had a rough year. You know, I broke my leg this past year. The healing process has been slow. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I expect this, I expect that, and I know you expect things too. You want me to get to davening on time? You want me to speak less Lashon Hara? You want me to care about the little details of Hilchos Shabbos? Okay, so let's make a deal. Right? Let's cut a deal on Rosh Hashanah. You give me life, and I'll give you mitzvahs. You give me life, and I'll give you less averus. That's, Rav Soloveitchik says, that's all the world of kapara. But a person who wants to achieve something more has to dig deep into that world called Tara. Real tshuva takes place from within. It's not a business deal. It doesn't have the legalistic structure of kapara. Tit for tat, I'll make a trade with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has to dig deep, deep inside of himself and try to metahir himself. And now you start to see how Rav Soloveitchik becomes the Ish Yom HaKippur. Rav Soloveitchik says there's a Gemara in Maseches Yoma and Daf Pei Hei. The Gemara has a question. The Gemara discusses the question whether or not it's possible to have kapara on Yom Kippur without doing tshuva. Can we say that Yom Kippur is such a powerful experience that even if you sit back and do nothing, you fold your arms and sit back in your chair and fall asleep as the rabbi gives a heartfelt drasha, right? And you don't open the machzor, you just allow Yom Kippur to wash over you. There's an opinion in the Gemara, the opinion of Rebbe. Happens to be we don't paskin this way. At least not in a revealed sense. The Rambam does not paskin this way. Obviously some of the deeper Svarim talk about the approach of Rebbe. But Rebbe's opinion is that Yitzumo Shel Yom Machaper. The day itself is so powerful that it brings kapara upon a person. That even if you do nothing to engage in tshuva on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the power of Yom Kippur to create kapara. So says Rav Soloveitchik, but read the Gemara carefully. Yom Kippur can create kapara. Yom Kippur can wash things in a superficial way. But Yom Kippur can't create tahara. Yom Kippur can't transform the person in a deep way. Yom Kippur can clean the slate a little bit. Yom Kippur can remove some of the punishments. Yom Kippur can restore some of the balance in your life. Again, in a superficial business type of relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But to have tahara without being involved in the process, Rav Soloveitchik says, could there be a concept of tahara without tshuva? And he says the answer is an emphatic no. It's not possible for a person to have tahara without tshuva. In the olden days, the Kohen Gadol would come and he would confess on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik says, nowadays we have a shliach tzibur who gets up and utters very heartfelt tfilos, saying how unworthy I am to represent Klal Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik says, that's kapara. Kapara, we could appoint someone to do kapara for me. I could send the Kohen Gadol to have the busiest day in the Beis HaMikdash, running this way and that, bringing karbanos, in order to bring kapara on Klal Yisrael. But tahara starts and ends with me. The only way to achieve tahara, says Rav Soloveitchik, is for a person to do what? Not a communal confession, but a deep personal confession. Rav Soloveitchik compares it. He says, imagine a person needs tahara in the most simple sense. A person needs to go to the mikvah. Can I appoint a shliach to go to the mikvah for me? Have me in mind. Oh, you're going to the mikvah today? Have me in mind when you go to the mikvah. When you're under the water, think about me. Right? Rav Soloveitchik says it's an absurd notion. You can't send a shliach to the mikvah. I can send my karban to the Beis HaMikdash. I could make a payment. Right? I could go online and punch in a couple of numbers and make a payment. I could use some service to transfer money for me. But tahara? The only way a person can achieve tahara is if you immerse yourself in it. Rav Soloveitchik says, the absurdity of thinking that you could have tahara without tshuva is as absurd as thinking you could send someone to the mikvah for you. Have me in mind when you go to the mikvah. Have me in mind when you eat matzah. Have me in mind when you put on your tefillin this morning because I'm staying in bed. There could be no such thing, says Rav Soloveitchik. A person has to be willing to engage again in that deep dimension called tahara. And that imagery of the mikvah is so beautiful. Because again, if kapara is so superficial, if there's anything that a Jew does in this world where he's fully immersed in it, it's a mikvah. Where every bit of one's body, not a single hair, can be extended above the water. The entire person has to be completely, completely immersed in it. What happened when we lost the Beis HaMikdash? When we lost the Kohen Gadol? You know, you learn a little bit about Yom Kippur, and the more you get into it, you can see how Rav Soloveitchik was living it. It was so alive and so real. For many of us, we were rushing through Musaf, the Avodah, we don't have a clue what it's about. Rav Soloveitchik says, once upon a time there was a Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol did amazing things, and he inspired us. He did the Kapara, and he inspired us to engage in Tahara. What happens after Chorban Bayis Sheni? Rav Soloveitchik suggests that the Mishnah that ends Maseches Yoma was written as a response to the Chorban. Many people probably recognize this Mishnah from the song that people sing on Yom Kippur and on Lag BaOmer, right? Rabbi Akiva's famous statement at the end of Maseches Yoma. Says Rabbi Akiva in source number 6, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate are you Jewish people? Fortunate. Rav Soloveitchik says, think about the time period. Rabbi Akiva is living through the period of the Second Temple's fall. He's watching the Chorban. He's living after the Chorban. And people are wondering, how can we possibly have Yom Kippur without a Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Akiva says, don't worry. The Kohen Gadol, that was Kapara. And we'll have a Shliach Tzibur. I know it doesn't seem as exciting, but Shliach Tzibur is also our Kohen Gadol. We'll have Kapara. But Tahara was never dependent upon a Beis HaMikdash. And it was never dependent upon anyone else. It wasn't a Kohen Gadol going to the mikvah for you. Rav Soloveitchik says, what Rabbi Akiva is telling Klal Yisrael after Chorban Bayis Sheni is the Yisrael Ashreichem Yisrael. Lifnei mi atem mitarin. Who do you purify yourself before? Not kapara, not superficial tshuva, deep tshuva. Says Rabbi Akiva, mi mitar eschem avichem shabbat shamayim. You know how a person achieves tahara? You come face to face with the Kodesh Baruch. You immerse yourself in a Kodesh Baruch. You draw close to a Kodesh Baruch who can be found, yes, even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Because unlike we sometimes imagine that Hashem is found much more in the Beis HaMikdash than anywhere else, it's simply not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. And if you want to draw near to Him, you can draw near to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even outside the Beis HaMikdash. So says Rav Soloveitchik, when we come to Yom Kippur, when a Jew comes to Yom Kippur, and again, if you're a Jew who likes to dream about the Beis HaMikdash, and you reflect on the Avodah of the Kohen, and you read the beautiful words, right, and you sing the Ma'arei Kohen, Ashrei Adam, Rasa Kol Eila, praiseworthy is the one who is zochet to see all of these things. And as you reflect on that, you start to feel bad. I'll never be able to do tshuva without a Kohen Gadol. I'll never be able to do real tshuva without a Beis HaMikdash. Remind yourself, says Rav Soloveitchik, that Yom Kippur is your mikvah. And a person who immerses himself in Yom Kippur with all his heart and all his soul, such a person can attain tahara. And even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol couldn't bring you to tahara. Vidui has two components to it. There's an aspect of vidui that's kapara, and there's an aspect of vidui that's tahara. The word, says Rav Soloveitchik, might be the same, but it's a totally different expression of one's heart. And listen to how Rav Soloveitchik develops this idea so, so beautifully. Let's go back to that person who, again, has undergone that personality change. He's involved in certain averus. He's no longer the same person. He can't claim that his averus are only on the surface. He's a different human being because of his behaviors. He's pasul le'edus. So who are some of the people who are pasul le'edus? And now the Rav, as the poetic soul that he was, starts to bubble to the surface. Rav Soloveitchik says, open up Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, look in the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos. It describes a person who's pasul le'edus. A person who gambles, who plays with dice. A person who lends money to fellow Jews with interest. A person who raises birds, pigeons. Right? All sorts of lowly behavior. A whole list in Maseches Sanhedrin. And this person has lost the ability to be considered a kosher Jew. So how does he come back? How does this person become kosher le'edus once again? How does he become a viable kosher Jewish witness once again? What does he need to do? Listen to the halacha. The halacha says, those dice that you used to gamble with, you have to smash them. You have to take a hammer and smash them to pieces. And those loans, those outstanding loans, the money you lent on interest, you need to take those documents and you need to tear them up to pieces. And those traps that you used to catch those pigeons, some which belong to other people, caught, stolen illegally, which you then use for your gambling purposes, you need to destroy those pigeon traps. You need to shatter it completely, break it into pieces. So Soloveitchik says, why do we have to be so extreme? Why can't I just put the dice away? Why can't I just put the loan documents in a drawer and just leave them? Why do I have to do something so destructive, to rip it up? I have to smash the dice. I have to destroy the pigeon traps. Rav Soloveitchik says, let's play with the dice just for fun. You play with your kids on a Shabbos afternoon. You know, no money involved, no big stakes. Right? Just to play with the dice. And you like lending money? And you like making money when you lend money? There's no isser to lend to a non-Jew and to charge interest. So why don't we say to this person, you want to change your ways? Stop stealing from your fellow Jews who you have to go above and beyond for, and do business with the rest of the world. And in terms of the pigeon traps, the halacha says, put them in the desert. You can catch whatever you want, hefker birds. Birds that don't belong to anyone. Why do you need to go to such an extreme in order to once again be kosher le'edus? And the Rav points out that these halachos are in Hilchos Eidos, not in Hilchos Tshuva. Because the person's status has changed. And the only way he's going to change back is if he does something drastic. If he goes to the extreme. If he's just going to put the dice in a drawer, and he's going to put away those documents, and he's going to leave the dovecotes or the pigeon traps in the corner, that's kapara. But kapara is not going to turn you back into the kosher Jew you once were. Unless you're prepared to do something more called tara. He needs to not only separate from the avera itself, to stop doing the avera, but he needs to change the path of his life. He's no longer able to walk that path that led to sin. And listen to the words of Rav Soloveitchik on the page in front of you. Even when we do not actually commit a wrongdoing, we often find ourselves on the path of sin. Rav Soloveitchik says, how many people are walking that fine line? Oh yeah, I can be involved in certain behaviors, but I'm not going to cross that, you know, that line that I've created for myself. That imaginary line. Rav Soloveitchik says, along the sides of this road, sin is permitted to bud, flower, bear fruit, and take root. Meaning if you don't do something to uproot that path, if you don't change your path, if you don't pick a different direction in life, even if you put away the dice for Yom Kippur, you know what's going to happen on Motzei Yom Kippur? You know what's going to happen a week later? By the time Tishrei is over, and now you're into the Cheshvan, and now you're into that dark stretch of Kislev before the lights of Hanukkah are upon us, the dice will be right back on the table. You'll be back with the poker chevra on Thursday night with a couple of beers. It'll be right back to where you are. It was all superficial. It was all kapara. But it was never really tara. So Rav Soloveitchik says you need to destroy that pathway. Like any other organic creation, sin requires an environment in which it can flourish, absorb nourishment, and thrive under the warm rays shining down upon it, as does a sprouting tree. The Rav says that's what the Navi means when it says, Ya'azov Rasha Darko. The pasuk that we're very familiar with, it's the pasuk from the Haftorah of a public fast day, a day of tshuva, and it certainly appears throughout the davening of the Yom Naram. Ya'azov Rasha Darko. The Rasha needs to change his path. It's not that the Rasha needs to just stop doing bad things. He needs to undergo a transformation of his life, a total change of direction. He needs to destroy the thing of temptation, whether it was the dice, or whether it was those loan documents, or whether it was those pigeon traps. He needs to obliterate it completely and turn away not only from the sin itself, but from the path to sin. So the Rav describes, imagine you come to the home of this Baal Tshuva. You walk in, this person who said they're finally ready to change their ways, and you walk in, and you see that the dice are still lying on the table. You know it's been a few weeks since he's played, but the dice are still lying on the table. And then you notice that some of those lone deeds are still lying in a drawer. You see them poking out of his desk drawer. Right? And you see that the dove coats are still standing in the corner. He hasn't put them out in a while. He hasn't stolen anyone else's birds or pigeons, right? But they're still lying around his house. So Soloveitchik says, that's not a changed person. That's not real tshuva. But now the Rav asks a very interesting question. Why would a person stop at kapara and not do tara? Meaning, mimanavshach. Either I'm not going to change at all, or if I'm going to be real about it, I should go all the way. Why do so many of us get stuck at kapara? What happens that we're willing to do kapara, that we're willing to wash away that superficial sin, but we're not really prepared to change the direction of our life? That we're not prepared to walk upon a different path? How is it that we get stuck at kapara time and time again? Why doesn't he go all the way? What motivated him to even get started, to even begin the process, to even stop playing dice, before he's ready to smash the dice? So Soloveitchik describes something that I think every single person in this room who has a beating heart can relate to. Those moments in life where you get a wake-up call. Those moments when all of a sudden, when life was cruising along, and all of a sudden something shook you a little bit. That something shocked you out of that complacency, with maybe with what you've been living for a long time. And Rav Soloveitchik describes it in the scene of Abigail trying to save her husband. If you remember the story towards the latter part of Shmuel Aleph, right after Shmuel dies, the Rabbi tells us Shmuel has died, and it says that David is traveling around, and David is still not quite established. David is traveling around, and he comes to a certain place with many of his men. He comes to the place where Naval is shearing his sheep, and he says, "Can you give us something to eat? We're here with David HaMelech." Right? David soon to be Melech. "We're here with David. David ben Yishai." And Naval is the chutzpah to say back, "David ben Yishai? Who's David ben Yishai? I don't know about David ben Yishai. I'm not interested in giving away my earnings to David ben Yishai. He's just another rebel. He's trying to usurp power that doesn't belong to him." And very, very scornfully, with great chutzpah, he rejects David HaMelech. Naval's life is on the line. He's ready to be killed. They're ready to chop his head off. And Abigail comes to the rescue of her very undeserving husband. She comes and she begs, "Please have mercy on my husband." And David takes a liking to her. Right, those who remember the story. And then she comes back to her husband. Her husband, Mr. Big Shot, who just, you know, cursed out David HaMelech, who just rejected the pleas of David and his men. And she waits for that precise moment to be able to deliver that bolt of lightning to his heart. Read the psukim inside, source number 7. Vatavo Abigail. After she negotiates her husband's life with great wisdom, she comes home. El Naval, she comes to her husband. Vihine lo mishta bebeso ke mishta hamelech. And he's having a big party. He's with the chevra. You know, a wine tasting event in his home. A couple of shots. Velev Naval tov alav. And Naval's life is good. Naval is a successful businessman. Vahu shikor ad ma'od. And he's completely drunk. And it wasn't pur. Velo higidalo davar katon v'gadol ad or haboker. Abigail is a wise woman. She knows that if I try to deliver a heartfelt message to my drunken husband, it's not going to resonate. So I'm going to wait for the morning when he sobers up and he has a little bit of a headache from his hangover, and then I'm going to deliver the message and let him know how much he really missed what just happened to him, or what almost happened to him, if not for my wisdom. The next morning, the morning comes, the dawn arrives, and Naval has emerged from his drunken stupor, and she tells him, "Do you realize what you just did? Do you realize how you almost got yourself killed with that way you were speaking so disrespectfully to David?" And his heart died inside of him. He feels terrible. He's frozen in place. He doesn't know what to do with himself. The shock, the realization setting in, all of a sudden, in that perfectly timed Musar Shmuz, delivered by the ultimate person to give Musar to a man, his wife. Rav Soloveitchik says, every one of us is Naval. Every one of us is in that drunken stupor. And listen to Rav Soloveitchik. You want to talk about a fiery Musar Shmuz? Listen to these words from the Rav. And maybe it can resonate with us in a deep way. Oftentimes, rabbis feel the same way as Abigail, who came upon Naval in the midst of a drinking party. The Rav gets up to give a drasha. And he wonders, is my entire kehillah drunk? And I'm not talking about the Kiddush Club. Is my entire kehillah drunk? Drunk on what? They feel their moralizing will fall on an impenetrable surface. The people they address are drunk with the pursuit of luxuries,
trying to imitate foreign lifestyles and currying favor with their neighbors. There is simply no one with whom to talk. And at this stage, the rabbi, if he's smart, tells nothing less or more. The way that Abigail decided not to say anything. Lo higidlo davar katan ad gadol. At that night, there's nothing to say. My husband's not ready to hear. However, a state of intoxication always ends in a sobering up. And it is an inflexible law of nature that night is followed by dawn. At some point, the party ends, and the DJ goes home, and the drinks are all done, and everyone sobers up, and all of a sudden, in that moment, there's a moment of that loneliness, that realization, is a moment that's accessible. And Abigail understood that. And then, and it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out, that his heart died within him. Rav Soloveitchik says, every sinner, every person who's involved in Averis, whether they're big Averis or small Averis, every one of us has an Abigail. Sometimes it's a person, or sometimes it's just a Kodesh Baruch Hu sending a wake-up call. We learned today in the Kedushas Levi how a Bas Kol comes out every day from Har Sinai, from Har Choriv, and says, Shuvu Banim Shovavim. Jewish people do tshuva. The Baal Shem Tov asked the question, who hears this Bas Kol? But the Baal Shem Tov said, everyone hears the Bas Kol. We all hear it internally. Every now and again, something happens in our life. We experience something, we just have a moment of an honest moment with ourselves. We have an Abigail to speak some sense to us, and all of a sudden the message hits home in such a deep way. And now the person's ready for kapar. I want to change. The person can barely speak straight, they're still sobering up. But I want to change. So the person says, I'm never going to play dice again. And I'm never going to lend money on interest again. And I'm never going to steal pigeons again. But the person's not ready to smash the dice. The Rav says this person had that shock, and it lasts for a few moments. You hear the sound of the chazan, kol nidre, right? Everyone's heart flutters a little bit. You hear the first sound of the shofar when we come to Chodesh El. Everyone says, I have to change. But Rav Soloveitchik says, again, that shock is only kapar. And many people get stuck there. They don't go deeper. They say to themselves, you know what, we'll let the promissory notes remain in the safety deposit box. Not that I'm going to use them or anything, but I'll leave it. You never know when I'll come back to it. Rav Soloveitchik says, if you just come to Yom Kippur and you're just frightened, if you're frightened by the Yom HaDin, if you're frightened into going to Shul, if you're frightened to sit down and have that conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you'll achieve Kapara, but you'll never achieve Tahara. How does a person achieve Tahara? How does a person go all the way with the Tshuva process? Rav Soloveitchik comes back to Rabbi Akiva. It's the Mikvah. A person has to immerse himself in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A person has to immerse himself fully in Yom Kippur. And Rav Soloveitchik says the same way when a person enters into a mikvah, you have to lower yourself. You have to bend yourself. You have to humble yourself. A person has to crouch down almost into a fetal position. Right? As if to say, I want to be born again. I'm negating myself. The way some of the Rishonim and some of the Sefer Chassidus explain. When you're under the water, you're in an environment where you cannot survive. And then you re-emerge. Born again. But first you have to be mevatel yourself. First you have to negate yourself. You can't allow yourself to just ride out that momentary shock of the Avigail of your life, of that morning that comes after the drunken revelry. A person has to be able to look deep. And a person has to ask himself, what's become of me? How did I end up on this path? Yazov Rosh Hadarko. To look at my life as a failure. To see myself as being spiritually bankrupt and making a decision that I need to change paths. The Soloveitchik says that the word chet, which we often translate as sin, actually means something a little bit more. The word chet or lahachti could also mean to miss the mark. I was saying to my student, I don't know if it was today or sometime earlier this week, it's much worse when a parent says to a child, I'm disappointed in you. That's much worse. I'd rather you say you're angry at me, I'd rather you send me to my room, right? When the parent just gives you that look, you know, with the weepy eyes and says, you know, I'm disappointed in you. Or the Rebbe looks at the student, right? Or the Mora looks at the student and says, you know, I'm disappointed with your behavior. Right? I'd rather you scream at me. Disappointment hurts a lot more. Because there's a deep recognition that I really messed up. That I missed the mark. Chata means lahachti, to miss the mark. That something went wrong. I was tricked by my Yetzirah. I've been traveling down this wrong path for too long. And every now and again, I pay a little payment here and I pay a little payment there. Right? I stole some money, so I give a little extra tzedakah and I feel better. But I haven't really changed internally. I haven't gone all the way to the depths of my being. And I keep stumbling and I keep stumbling and I keep stumbling. The Pasuk in Hosea says in source number 8, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Jewish people, come all the way back to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ki chashalta bavonecha. Because you keep stumbling over your averos. Your averos are tripping you up. You keep falling for it again and again and again. And now you come to the realization that the avera is the punishment. The fact that I've been living this way for so long and never willing to make real changes in my life, that's the biggest punishment in the world. The Rav says, how about the person who thinks, you know, that if I just like B'chal Shabbos a little bit, you know, I stay in my office a little too late on Friday and then I accidentally get home a little bit late, but you know, I make a couple extra bucks. Or I'm doing things in a dishonest way. The Rav says, you never win like that. Chilul Shabbos never leads to more money. He says, how about the rabbi who flatters the person in the community who has a lot of money because he wants to get that person onto his side? And then a couple years later, lo and behold, that person's the biggest enemy. He's trying to oust the rabbi, push him out of the shul. Rav Soloveitchik says, a person who's not yashar, a person who's not honest, a person who's not looking to dig deep, is going to keep stumbling over their averus. You're going to keep falling for the tricks of the Yetzirah. Chatasi doesn't only mean I've sinned. Chatasi means your whole direction is off. You're missing the mark and you're traveling down the wrong path. So the Rav says every person has their dice. And every person has their loan documents. And every person has their dovecotes. Every person has the things that are pulling us in time and time again and causing us to stumble. But Rav Soloveitchik says, Yom Kippur gives us the chance to not only have kapara, as again you see throughout the davening, but to have tahara. To duck your head, to humble yourself, to immerse yourself, to stand before Hashem, lifnei Hashem, titaru. To fully come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to smash the dice once and for all. Ya'azov Rosh Hadarko, to pick a different direction in life. Says the Navi Yeshayim, with this we conclude, in the final source. Machisi cha'ov pisha'echa, v'cha'anan chatosecha, shuv e'elai ki ga'alticha. And these are the closing words that Rav Soloveitchik writes again in the opening essay of Al HaTshuva. The erasure of sin resembles the dissipation and disappearance of the clouds which obscure the shining sun. What is our request? What are we davening? What are we hoping for in Yom Kippur? Machisi ka'ov pisha'echa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wipe away, remove those clouds of sin. But it's not only wipe it away in a superficial way. Because what's the end of the pasuk? Shuva elai, return to me fully. Ki ga'alticha. Look at the beautiful, beautiful poetic words of Rav Soloveitchik. When a man achieves repentance, a purification, not only kapara, not only acquittal, not only paying a debt, but a person goes ad hasof, all the way through, shuv yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, lifnei Hashem titaru. When a person achieves repentance of purification, all the clouds above him disperse, and he feels the pure rays of the sun shining upon him, and his entire being is permeated with ki ani agigal ticha, for I have redeemed you, to be fully redeemed, to finally become the person I'm supposed to be. Unbelievable, unbelievable approach from Rav Soloveitchik. So Mir Tzah Hashem. Again, Yom Kippur is still a while away. But to become an Ish Yom Kippur, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to really take these words of Rav Soloveitchik to heart. How many of us are still holding on to our dice? How many of us are still keeping those loan documents that maybe one day, you know, if I'm in bad shape, I'll pull them out once again. Right? It's very hard to break those old habits and to truly change one's ways. But Ya'azov Rosh Hadarko. A person has to believe that Hashem is giving us the opportunity to stand before Him, to immerse ourselves in Him, and then Amir Tzah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant each and every one of us a ktsiva v'chasimah tov.